Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have to tell you, my guest today, I am so impressed with his publication, but more than that, I wish I were on television so I could show you what I've got in front of me. So we're going to be using the magic of words, and you can use your imagination to go along with it. But my guest today is Adrienne Van Doren. Her absolutely awesome publication, and I do not say that lightly. I mean, it really is. It's called The House That Foe Built. Adrienne, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
You know, it is a challenge for anyone to look at a home and to say, oh, good Lord, what am I going to do with this space? I know I've been there. I have walked into homes that I just, if I were the person, I think I would give up. Yet the imagination and creativity of people is phenomenal, what they can do. And so many people today, because of the economy, they'd really like to do something with their home. And I want people to know about your background, your credentials. You've trained or taught at every major decorative painting school in the United States. You have won national and international awards for your work. You are regularly asked to be a speaker at national painting and real estate conventions. You've been featured on all of the major networks. I'm so pleased you're with me. You have been involved with magazines. You are going to be doing a pilot film from drab to fab. It has been quite a journey for you. With all that you do, with all of your expertise, how in the world were you ever able to get all of these exceptionally talented people together? This book is just incredibly gorgeous. Tell us how you got started with it and how it evolved.
Well, this was right after Katrina, and a lot of artists wanted to actually go down to New Orleans and help themselves, but we came up with the idea collectively that if we could do a show home and really take it to the max and then sell the book about that and give the proceeds to the Katrina victims, we could do a lot of good. And so we had 100 of the top artists from, people flew from England and France to participate in this.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, you've just got so many beautiful things in here. We're going to be talking about some of the tips. But what I wanted to do was to just generally touch on the various sections. Again, this is the book, The House That Foe Built. Right on the very front cover, you have a room. It was called a gentleman's room. When I came across the detail about that gentleman's room, I could not believe it. The first thing that is there is a before photo where it shows a man standing at the end of the room. It's a 6-foot, 6-inch ceiling. There's no windows. I mean, the first thing that you'd think when you'd walk into that space, because it actually got narrower, is, at least with me, I'd feel claustrophobic in it. I just looked at it and I said, oh, good grief. Then
exactly.
You see the after.
Mm-hmm.
And a black ceiling. I mean, it's gorgeous, but a black ceiling. Tell us how this evolved and who was it that worked on it.
Well, this was the basement of the house, and you're right. When you walked into that room, when it was all white, white ceiling, white walls, you just wanted to run out of there screaming because there were no windows, and the ceiling was so short. It was right above your head. And so we played visual tricks throughout the house. This was a small house. We bought it because it was ugly and in need of, like, a makeover. And so this particular thing we wanted to show people was that there are visual tricks you can do to make a ceiling look taller. One was to paint it black. Another was to take lighting sconces and do up lighting instead of overhead lighting. That made a big difference. And then we broke the walls up into panels and painted the drywall, really, to look like wood paneling like you would have in a gentleman's library.
Absolutely. It's gorgeous.
And when you've got those panels, you wouldn't even want windows. It's such a beautiful room.
It is absolutely exquisite. You put in a faux fireplace, but the way you used the paint, the wood grain, I know Julie and Tanya did the wood grain to resemble walnut, and then used a phony molding to create the illusion. Now, when you are doing that kind of a treatment to make something look like wood, how do you go about doing that? What kind of materials do you need? Because this was not an expensive room.
That's true. Basically, all you need to do is you paint the wall kind of a woody yellow, almost a mustardy yellow. And then you put a glaze, a brown glaze over that, glaze mixed with brown paint. And there's a special brush that they call a flogger, and it kind of makes a grain look. And then once that dries, you go with another set of glaze, and you kind of pull it down to look like wood grain. And, you know, a lot of the ideas in the book, any DIY home person can do. Other ideas in the book, you wouldn't really need an artist to do. But it's the whole range, because even if somebody takes one or two ideas from any of the rooms and you know, uses it in their own home, then they've definitely got something out of it.
And what was so nice is that you did something that was contrary when it came to doing the furnishings in the room. You called it a gentleman's room where the guys could just really sit back and relax. But the beauty of the artwork on the walls, the artificial woodwork, the sconces with the light going up, you put in large chairs. This wasn't a big room, but it fits.
It was. It was a tiny room. And you can see that in the picture, the photographer standing in both cases actually being able to touch the ceiling. In fact, if people go to fauxhouse.com, F-A-U-X-house.com, they can see the before and after pictures and even download one of the chapters for free.
Another thing, and I've seen this done, and I really think it's a fabulous idea, and that was that this basement had a concrete floor, and you painted that floor.
Yes, there's various ways. In fact, there were several concrete floors in the building. This was a house built in the 40s where they were making it almost like a bomb shelter, you know. And it was for workers that worked at the Pentagon. And so a lot of cement and steel. And so in different rooms we did different treatments. But in the wine cellar we did a stain technique that made it look like it was 100 years old. And then there's this thing called Modelos, and they're like huge sticker stencils. You can get them up to, you know, 8, 10 feet, or even bigger. And so you don't have any bleed under. And so what we did there was we stained the floor and then put down the stencil and then used kind of an acid to pull out the color and made it look just ancient. And it fit in as if it had been there forever.
Yes. And also what you did, when you took a room, I like the way that you did the brainstorming. You know, there was more than one of you working on this. Now, this is something that takes time to do. It's not something you do in 30 seconds. But there's so many different applications that you can use. But this actual stain on the floor looks like a carpet. It's just incredible. And you had damaged parquet wood. I mean, the water damage was just terrible. And then you also, you did something with the fireplace. You created an absolutely exquisite look to this fireplace. The room is, you know, just masterful, this fireplace. Where did you, you know, how did you manage to pull all of this together? Because the flooring was damaged. You had, you know.
Well, what we wanted to show people was, you know, in kind of the tradition of green, is you don't really have to rip up the flooring and throw out the kitchen cabinets and rip out the fireplace that you have. You can actually paint over or use overlayments and plasters to give what you have a brand new look. And so with that fireplace, it was a red brick fireplace that looked very dated, again, from the 1940s. And we simply painted the brick in various colors of sienna, almost a metallic paint. And then we used this stuff called quartz stone. It actually has quartz in it. And you trowel it on in thin layers over the ceramic tile that was the hearth, and we made it look kind of like slate.
And it blends. And you picked a theme of color, too,
mm-hmm.
which I thought just blended everything. And then the cottage-type door that was at the entrance of the room. But the imagination that you incorporated, I like the fact that you were able to make everything, one, look warm, attractive, fresh, and it was cozy. This wasn't a gigantic house. Now, you also used resin trim pieces. Are those easy to work with?
We used what?
Resin trim pieces.
Yes. Yes, they are. They're actually very easy to work with. And one interesting thing about the living room I want to point out is that throughout the house, we used the same color, monochromatic, around the ceiling. There's not a single white ceiling in that whole faux house.
Mm-hmm.
And what people often think is that a white ceiling makes the room, you know, the ceiling look taller. But actually, the opposite is true, because your eye stops at the white and you see that line too clearly, whereas with the ceiling being about the same color, your eye just goes up and around and doesn't stop. And also in that living room, to make it look larger, we painted the molding a very similar color to the walls and used bigger furniture rather than smaller, because some people think a lot of small furniture is better to make a small room look large. But really, just a few pieces of large furniture can make it look larger.
Now, you also had some interesting concepts to create a richness with certain doors and certain glass panes. You etched them, but you did not etch them like using an acid substance. You painted
them. That's true. You know, some people might want to make their windows look like they're etched, but they're afraid maybe for resale value, I don't want to do this permanently, or maybe
mm-hmm.
it won't turn out well. And so there's a kind of paint you can get at any craft store that makes it look like it's etched. It's like a stencil paint, but it's not. And so we used, again, those Modelo sticker stencils, put them on so that there was no bleed under, and then did that on the little glass panes of the upper door. And then we painted the door that had been white to look like it was wood, and made it look very rich. And then the best thing we did, I don't know if you noticed the doorknob and the little hinges.
Oh, yes, they're gorgeous.
It was the same ugly old doorknob that had been there, you know, one of those cheap brass things. But it there's a doorknob surround that you can buy from a company called Bow Arts. They're on the website. But anyway, they sell those, and you just stick it right over the doorknob, and it looks so elegant. And then the little hinge things we just, you know, glue to the front of the hinge and makes it look like it's got this expensive, you know, hinge apparatus.
Yes, and the glue-on molding that you had painted just
mm-hmm.
as an accent on trim, you had, like you said, you painted it. Much of the trim, like in this one area, you wanted to be able to enhance the frame of the door and the area above. So you created this wood look, but then on top of that, you did this molding that you had painted, sort of gilded it, but it just blended.
And the amazing thing about that molding, and again, you can get that from Bow Arts, is you can steam that, and if you have a curved surface, let's say you have a column in a room,
mm-hmm.
you can actually bend that molding around. I've done grapes around a column and so on. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful product. It's kind of a composite material. But once you paint it, it can look like metal, it can look like wood, anything you like.
It's incredible what you were able to do. Also, you did something with a ceiling that was utterly mind-boggling to me. You've got a before and after of this ceiling that had this huge, huge fan in it. Now, you removed the fan,
mm-hmm.
but you decided you were going to use a canvas.
Well, it was an outdoor porch, basically, you know, was screened in,
mm-hmm.
and it had glass windows that you could pop in, but we were very fortunate. We had a window company that went ahead and put in decent windows, and it had beadboard ceiling that really made it look dated, and because it was tiny, the fan just made it look just tinier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking that down and putting in a very little crystal kind of chandelier, and then we took heavy canvas, painted it with an ornate pattern, and then took very heavy-duty construction adhesive, and about 20 people with very tired arms from holding it up there, to glue it to the ceiling right over the beadboard.
You know, the whole look of this room, which is really quite small, but I look at it and I thought, gee, this is cozy. Mm-hmm. This is like a nice breakfast nook, but it's so open with the windows, the way everything was painted. It feels so warm and so, you know, it's just cozy, just absolutely gorgeous. And you put in a table there that, you know, it's just set up. It's got a wonderful window seat type of arrangement. You had flowers. I mean, this is just totally first class. That's what I just absolutely loved about it. But it's all illusion, and it wasn't expensive. It didn't cost $20,000 to do this room.
Exactly. And there's a lot of ways people can, you know, with the market being down with houses right now,
mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of ideas that people can get from the book where they can say, wow, you know, I could paint my cabinets like that. And I don't know if you noticed the refrigerator.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Yes.
Amazing. Wasn't it? We put wood panels and actually screwed and glued them on, you know, with construction adhesive over an ugly old almond refrigerator and then put new stainless steel handles on it and painted that and the dishwasher front and the builder's old cabinets, you know, that red oak stuff or whatever. We painted all that to look like it was an exotic, you know, painted, distressed
mm-hmm.
kind of cabinet. And, we, in fact, you even hit it with keys and stuff to kind of give it the little dents and then splattered a little bit with a toothbrush to give it a little more distressed look. And it's just gorgeous. And, you know, the other thing people can do to make their kitchen cabinets look as if they were more of a custom
mm-hmm.
is we pulled some things down a little and other cabinets up to make them look like they were the 40-inch cabinets and go to the ceiling. And then, like, on either side of the gas stove, we pulled cabinets forward equal to the stove and other cabinets back, and it gave it that whole custom look. And then we were able to go right over a laminate countertop with Venetian plasters and a particular spiegelers that you would use on a boat, and made the countertop look just like stone.
Well, now, see, that is a tremendous savings right there, because so many people, and I have to raise my hand, we did it with our kitchen. We put in like a marble surface and all of that kind of stuff, and it is amazing the cost that you will have when you do that.
And it's a mess.
Oh, and you, by golly, you really have a challenge, because whenever you have stone in an area where you're using it a great deal, whether it's a bathroom or a kitchen, you've got to be prepared. It's going to get stained. It's going to really be, for all intents and purposes, a real pain in the neck. And here you've got something that's usable. It was so attractive. It just opened up the room. But the idea of doing the appliances the same color as the rest of it. And the floor plan, one of the things in that little kitchen that you did remove a wall.
It was a three-quarter wall that was non-load-bearing, because in the old days, in the 40s, the kitchen was so small in that house that when you open the refrigerator door, you actually hit the oven with the door. I mean, it was bad. I mean, so basically, we combined the kitchen and the dining room, which is why we then had to turn that little side porch into that dining room that we were just discussing with the canvas over the beadboard and so on.
Mm-hmm. And it works just beautifully. Now, what is so amazing, and when you look at the photos, you see this completed kitchen, you see this beautiful tile work that's behind the stove, but it's not tile at all. What did you do for that?
Well, basically, we took the floor, for example. We put the concrete overlayment and did a taped-off section to make it look like stone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot to mention that if you put molding above cabinets, by the way, it makes it look like the upgraded stuff, and you can paint it all to match.
Oh, that's right, because I just took a look at the photograph here,
mm-hmm.
and you did that around the hood cover that's
mm-hmm.
over the
we
stove.
We did, and we did it on top of the cabinetry, and that's something that anybody can do to their old cabinets, is just put some crown molding on top, paint it to match you know, the cabinets and put some new handles on it. They've got a new kitchen. Because, you know, the things that you have to update in order to sell a house these days is the bathroom and the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can make those look more up-to-date by painting the cabinets, by upgrading the appliances a little bit, and by making the room seem a little bit larger and cleaner, and then, of course, taking everything off the countertops, that house is going to sell for a lot more money. In fact, that house, we bought it at the bottom of the market for $499,000. I'm sorry, we bought it at the height of the market for $499,000. We sold it at the bottom of the market for $650,000. And
that's the bottom of the market. My goodness, you made that much of a profit.
We did. And, you know, we also, a lot of people go, well, will those finishes last? Well, in between buying it, it took us about 8 months to fix it up. Then we had it open to the public, and then we rented it to a lady with two children for a year in order to test the finishes, like on the countertops and stuff, and everything held up beautifully.
Wow. Now, this backsplash behind the stove, you have the fan that's above, and fans, you know, typically, those fan units are so ugly. They really are ugly. And like you said, you put the trim on the adjacent cabinets and also around the top of it. It just looks so attractive. And then you had those two molding pieces that went underneath the fan.
And you can buy those at Lowe's, you know, just the pre-carved pieces and then make it look exactly like it's, you know, an expensive carved piece.
Mm-hmm. But that backsplash. You used the tape, and you call it a Marmorino plastic?
Marmorino.
Marmorino.
Yeah, we actually, there was a lady from Atlanta that did that, and she did kind of a plaster first that was a type of gray, and then she taped it off with little tiny one-inch eight tape to make it look like a tile pattern. And then she troweled on the Marmorino, which is a lime-based Italian plaster in a beige. When you peel the tape off, it looks just like you've got tile. In fact, people that were there looking at the house didn't believe us, even when we told them it wasn't real tile, because it looked exactly like tile. It's, you know, when you pull the tape, you've got the raised area. It has depth and, you know, it looked like stone tile.
Well, you have so many wonderful examples. You have the church that you did. You have a wine cellar that is just wonderful. You have the area of the front of a house, how it was made to look far more attractive just with a few changes. And all of this is just wonderful. It can give any of our people who are homeowners, even people that might be in condos, if they're wanting to do something to freshen up their place and they're on a tight budget, it's going to take time, but you will be able to do this. Now, you've got some marvelous sections in the back of your book where, and of course, you've got photos of all the tremendous artists and photos of what the process was like. You give information on who they are and the sponsors for this book that you've got here. But you talk about some basic things about how to paint a room. Lots of little things that we wouldn't even think of. For example, a spray Pam inside your trash bags and your tapes won't stick, like the tapes you put along your flooring and everything that you don't want painted when you're doing a room. They'll fall to the bottom of a bag. And then if you wet your brushes before you use them, the paint will be less likely to be sucked up into the ferrule. Catch the drips. Take a piece of brown paper tape and fold it in half lengthwise. Position it immediately under the section you're painting. Allow it to catch any drips. You have so many, many things. And you also talk about how to have a greener, healthier home. We had a guest on not that long ago where she had a home that was very toxic. You have some wonderful information about what to look for. Tell us about some of those tips that we can use to have a healthier home, because that is a big issue with a lot of people today.
Well, you know, actually, I've become very aware of this because I do some marketing for My Green Cottage. They're a building company, and Ed Begley Jr. is our spokesperson. And so I've been really getting into more and more about the green, and we became aware of it because we did have a couple of people that wanted to use the oil-based paints and other people that were very sensitive to it. And what we learned was that there are many, many products in the home that have high VOCs, where they off-gas, and things like your cabinets that are made of pressed wood can be very dangerous. It can off-gas over time. In many cases, interior air pollution is much more bad for you than exterior air pollution, because you're just not getting that crosswind going through a lot of times. So one thing is carpet, particularly nylon carpet, is really bad to capture things in terms of dust mites and pollutants and people tracking things in from outside. And they also have chemicals that off-gas based on the way they were made. So if you have to have carpet, get something like wool. But if you've got hardwood under there or can put hardwood in, that's going to be healthier for you.
Also, you mentioned bamboo. And bamboo is a wonderful flooring product.
It's bamboo is great. It's renewable. Cork flooring is another one that's very good with the, it's again very renewable, and these can be very, very hard if they do have the right surfaces over it. One thing we did in the bathroom there, it had a tile floor that was cracked and really ugly. It was those little gray and white tiles from the 40s. We took a no VOC plaster and went right over it. We didn't have to take out the toilet. We didn't have to tear out the tile and fill it in the landfill. You know, we were able to go right over the existing floor and make it look just like slate. And then we were able to go over the shower tile with another type of material, because only in the last 2 years have they had sealers that are strong enough and long-lasting enough to be holding up to traffic of the feet and the showers and the moisture in the bathroom. And so now you can really cover up just about anything you have.
That is amazing. Are there sealers for natural stone that can be used?
Absolutely. You can do that. And then there's a lot of sealers now that you can just seal right over paint, or, you know, one of the floors that we did in the dining room, we just painted over the cement, and then we sealed it with several layers of kind of a nautical kind of sealer, and it held up to thousands of people walking through that house over a period of, 2 years.
Oh, wow. That's terrific. Now, you say that it's good not to just dump your old cabinets, that try to paint, plaster over, or update them without ripping them out. If you do remove them, don't just dump them. Donate them to Habitat Restore or some organization that will be able to use them in someone else's home. And you just have all kinds of wonderful tips about dry basements, five steps to having that, what to look for, the type of paint to use, how to upgrade concrete, how to make a small room appear larger, how to visually enlarge windows, make them seem more spacious. Just, and decorating rules, go ahead and break them. Your book is absolutely marvelous. Now, do give us your website again so that we can go to that.
www.fauxhouse.com. And the book's also at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. But like I said, they can download a free chapter, and they can see the before and afters of all the rooms we've talked about in the gallery of photos.
Oh, and I recommend it highly, because the visual is just absolutely spectacular. It's economical. It is a project perhaps, a husband and wife could do, or a single person can do, or maybe you have some buddies that would like to help you out. But a little bit of paint can do wonderful things. It can go a long way. But what a difference it can make in making you feel better about where you live and the quality of what you have around you. It is just absolutely beautiful, the ways you use fabrics, textures, make them up. It's just awesome. Adrienne, your book is incredible. The House That Faux Built, do go to her website, fauxhouse.com. It is something you'll be very glad that you did, and you'll find that there's just a lot you can do for yourself. Thank you, Adrienne, for being with me today. It has been just a delight having you as a guest.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't forget, The House That Faux Built. You want to do something, maybe help out a friend. What if you've got somebody that's just going absolutely bonkers over their place? They're just frustrated. They don't know what to do. Get them this book as a gift, The House That Faux Built. And don't forget our website, fauxhouse.com. We're taking a break in just a moment. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I know we've got a caller waiting, but let me give you some information about the telephone numbers you can call in to if you'd like to chat with me today. Here they are. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876. 3222. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine. Who am I speaking with?
Denisa.
Denisa?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What a pretty name. And where are you calling from, Denisa?
From Tacoma, Washington.
From Tacoma, my own home turf. My goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's nice to know that you're able to do this today, that you have the time. Okay,
yeah.
Denisa, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that is coming into my mind is traveling. Now, when I'm saying traveling, I wish I could say I could see you going to Europe and Australia and, you know, just tripping the light, fantastic, but that's not it. You're going to be on the road quite a bit because you are connecting with different people, different environments, different situations, and it's like I'm in the car, out of the car, in the car, out of the car. So I want you to be sure. Number one, that you winterize your car, that you make sure that everything's in order, the oil and the tires and all of that good stuff. And also what I want you to do is be sure that you have a charger in your vehicle if you need it for your cell phone. Because you may find, and I don't know why this will happen with your cell phone, that the battery may not be up to par. You may need to have something that's going to keep it charged. So that cell phone is going to come in handy because you're going to be on the go quite a bit. You also are going to be dealing with an issue of how am I going to change my patterning of my time management. And that's always a challenge, especially when we have a lot of responsibilities. But you are going to be able to make the changes, but you're going to have to think them through, and you're going to have to implement the shifts that you want on a gradual patterning. because to try to do it all at once, it's really going to be hard for you to do. You're going to say, I just can't manage this, and you're going to get frustrated and get irritated. So I don't want you to have to go there. So try to break it down where you can segment the changes, and then that way you won't have a lot of people fighting you on this either. You'll
right.
be able to implement your various shifts and changes, and people go, oh, yeah, I can handle that. Oh, good. And then you slide something out of a certain time frame, shifting it into another one. And that's what it's going to take, because if you don't start giving yourself some time, if you don't start giving yourself some TLC, you're going to get very irritable.
Right.
It's as if PMS big time. You might as well wear a sign on your forehead. Make my day, folks. Just I don't want you to go there.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do that. You're a lovely individual. You're not of that dispositioning, but I just think you're needing to unload some of the stress.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, I'm actually thinking about asking my employer to drop down to part-time. Do you see anything?
I think that's a great idea. What were you thinking of? Like maybe 20 hours a week? What were you wanting?
20 hours a week. 2 days a week, two 10-hour shifts on our busiest days, Monday and Thursday, since we have low senses right now.
Oh, I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea. What I would encourage you to do is to, because your boss is under a lot of stress, tremendous stress. So what I would encourage you to do is set up a time when maybe you can just say, gee, can I have a few minutes of your time, and go in and say, I have some thoughts, and I'd just like to know how you would feel about my presenting these concepts. And I say, sure, sit down. Your boss will be glad for the break. And just say, I really have been given some very serious thought to what's going on, and I realize that you're under a lot of stress. Would it assist you if I cut back my hours?
Okay.
You know, present it in that way. And then let your boss chew on this for a while. Because believe it or not, your boss may go, I don't think that's a good idea.
Right.
And you just need to say, you need to present it in that kind of a relaxed format. We just say, you don't have to answer me right now, but can you just give it some consideration? Because I think it would help the company. What do you think?
Right.
And that may just give them something that enables them to make a shift.
Uh-huh.
And if they feel like they can't do it for 20 hours a week, then just say, well, maybe could we make it 30? You know,
right.
How can I break it up where it's going to make the burden less on you, and I just know how tough it is sometimes, and I'm in a position where I can do this, and I'd like to know if that would work for you.
Perfect.
And then
I just had one last quick question. Right now, I'm not in a permanent living situation. I'm trying to move into a three-bedroom. Do you see anything about a three-bedroom? Or
now, are you wanting to rent or are you wanting to purchase?
Rent.
All right, if you're wanting to rent a three-bedroom, it depends on where you're wanting to be. If you're wanting to be in Tacoma proper, I'm looking at the number 6. I don't know if it's 6 weeks or 6 months.
No, I'm actually looking to live in Morton.
Okay.
Out by Mount Rainier.
All right. In Morton, I think it's going to be a little tougher. You may have to come in closer to Tacoma.
Okay.
To get what you want. And I would say give yourself a radius. If you're commuting to work and you have that commute and you're cutting back to, let's say, 20 hours a week, which makes it a lot easier for you, then what you want to do is maybe get out a map and set a radius and then just allow that there's going to be someone. I am looking at a house on a piece of property that it's got a good deal of land around it. And in fact, I don't see a fence. It looks pretty open here. And whoever this belongs to, it's sort of a rambler style, and it's a very nice house. It's going to need some work, though, done on the inside. So if this is a place that you're interested in and you like the location, I'm a little concerned because I think it's in a floodplain area. You want to check that out. You want
a
to be
flood area?
A floodplain area.
Okay.
So you want to be very thoughtful. You don't want to rent a place that's going to be in a floodplain area because we're going to have heavy rains. You don't want to go there. So you want to be sure that you check that out wherever you rent. But I am looking at this place. It's got a very, very nice feel to it. Again, it's like a 50s Rambler style. And you might be able to negotiate something with the person that owns it when you go in and say, gee, I'd like to rent it, and if I upgrade this for you, if I fix it up a little bit, can I get a discount in my rent? Or how would you feel about having someone? It looks to me like it's owned by someone that really hasn't done very much in the way of maintenance. So it does need some maintenance. It needs some work.
Okay.
So yeah, I think you're in a negotiating position, because I don't see a lot, I don't see heavy traffic around this house at all. So it's in an area where roads, you may need to make sure that you've got the kind of vehicle that is going to handle the roughness of roads that are not paved. And you're going to need to think carefully about what it is that you want. If you've got something like a Hummer, then that'll be fine.
Okay.
So think about what it is that you want. Get some clarity. But there is a place available for you. I think that there are actually a number of three-bedroom options. But if you want a house rather than an apartment, then I think you just need to come in, not be so far out as far as Rainier Valley.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Donna, so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, if you'd like to give me a buzz, that's how simple it is. I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight here, or the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. Now, I do want to remind you that if you're in the Tacoma area and you would like to come to a meeting about nutrition, physical wellness, we're going to be having one, and all you need to do is call my office. It's going to be this Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. Give me a call, and I'll be happy to give you the directions to the meeting area. It's been a long time since I've been able to do this because of my schedule, but now that I'm not on the road traveling, yahoo, then I can do it. And it's one of my favorite subjects to get into. You hear me talking about glyconutrients every day on the show. Well, we're going to be going into more detail about that. I'm also going to be talking about Teresa Tapp's exercise program. I'm going to have some free DVDs that I'm going to be able to give to people that come, and also a copy of her latest newsletter. So we've got all kinds of good information that we're going to be sharing this Friday. So do give me a call at my office. Call 800-872-8852. I'll give you the location and also the directions on how to get there. This is for Western Washington. Okay, we've got another caller on the line. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Where in Ohio, dear?
Toledo.
And your first name or initial, please?
Marie.
All right. Now, Marie, when I'm looking at you, now, by the way, we may be going to a break in about a minute and 30 seconds, so would you be able to stay with me if we go on break?
Yeah, I've never called in before, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, well, that's perfectly all right. You don't have to do a thing.
Oh.
Just let me talk, and then if you had a question, you'll be able to do that. How does that sound?
Okay.
Okay. Now, Marie, the first thing I'm looking at with you is that you need to expand your artistic interests. And the reason I say it is that I believe that you are a woman that has such a compassion for people that through a level of artistic expression, especially anything that you could do with your hands, whether it's painting, whether it is designing with textiles, different materials, you are a person that really likes to touch people with something that you can give them. It could even be through cooking. I mean, cooking is an art as well. So whatever enables you to put this out really makes a difference. And you have what I feel is a natural healing touch when it comes to people. And even though you've been going through a rather rocky 5 years, there's been a lot of things that have been going on with you. You've been sort of overwhelmed because of them. I want you to know that you've grown so much because of these up and down experiences that other people brought in to you, that you're going to be able to empower others through the expansion, again, of your own artistic skills into a medium that is really meaningful for you. Now, we're going to have to take a break, Marie. Will you stay on the phone? Sure. Okay, dear. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna. We're talking with Marie in Toledo, Ohio. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away. Got a lot of good things to share. And give me a call if you want to chat. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, before I go back to Marie, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking about mystery codes from ancient times. Dawn Parks is going to be my guest. Dawn has been a friend of mine for a number of years and has been very much involved with the Edgar Cayce information and research. And so he has dedicated a great deal of his life as a professional to being able to research this and finally put a book together, which I'm happy to say is quite good, and I'll enjoy having him as a guest tomorrow. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Also, for those of you that have children and you are interested in having a fabulous gift, I'm offering a special discount to those that want to order books for the holidays for those children of ages 3 to 10. I'm offering them for $15 instead of $20. That doesn't include shipping and handling, but I will personalize and autograph that book for that special child. So call me at my office. That's the quickest way to reach me. Call me or send me an email. Call me at 800-872-8852 or email at donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, I want to start letting people know about that. Let's go back to Marie. Marie in Toledo, Ohio. What's your question for me today?
When I came into this world, I was very attuned to the Master Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I went to live with my mother, and I blocked everything out. She said that's not allowed in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some way I can get rid of those blocks? So that
oh, sure, hon. It actually is quite simple. Nothing complicated. You see, you've never lost that connection. Through the years, I've heard so many people say, use it or lose it. And that's not true. You're never, ever separate from spirit, period, because it's everywhere, ever present. The key is to be open and receptive to it. And what happens as an adult, because we're having to unlearn certain thinking patterns that we brought into our space due to the environments we were raised in, like that with your mom, she was afraid of it. Your mother had the same capabilities, but she didn't have anybody she could talk to about it. And consequently, it became something that was very frightening to her. She didn't want to be different. You inherited this quite naturally. So you just need to be okay with it. I would just say in your mind, just accept that the link is going to be reopened.
Okay.
And allow that it may happen in a way and manner that you might not expect. Also, I would say start picking up books of subject matter, which I know you've got a nice library right now, but add to that library. and be willing, you know, to talk to people. If you've asked someone, say, gee, have you ever seen a ghost, or have you ever had a communication with your parents, or what do you think about this, that, or the other? You'll be amazed at what people tell you. Absolutely phenomenal, the experiences that people have. It's so common, and you don't realize how common it is until you find people opening up about what their personal experiences have been. So I say one good way to start to connect is to start writing about those experiences that you recall as a child and the warm feelings that you had, the happy feelings. I can remember my granddaughter when she's very talented, and she had experiences with being in rooms, you know, through dreams, or for her they came through dreams, much as the experiences for me came through dreams. And she would find herself seated with all these people, and she finally realized that they were members of family that had passed on, that were just around her and were wanting to communicate with her and talking with her. And she said it was a wonderful environment. She was telling me this when she was 7 years old. And I said, isn't that great? But whenever she tried to talk to anybody else about it, it was like, you don't know what you're talking about. So it's important for you just to reconnect with that and know that you can have a clarity that you'll only attract the finest and the best to you. Don't be afraid of this. You weren't afraid of it as a child, and you don't need to be afraid of it as an adult.
I'm not afraid of it. I keep looking for it, and I haven't found it.
Well, it's not a matter of looking. It's accepting.
Well, I've been told that you have to look within to find it.
Well, that's what I mean by acceptance, hon.
Okay.
It's just being comfortable with it. That's why I said you should write about it. Write about what you remember and those good feelings. Because those on the other side will communicate with you in their own way. But as an adult, you're in a different frequency than you were as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll come in the most easy, comfortable manner that you could ever imagine.
That sounds wonderful. Can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
When I was about three or four years old, I had a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother took me into the light. My mother had never told us that our step-grandmother was our step-grandmother. We thought she was our grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a complete surprise to me when this person told me she was my grandmother. One of the things that she had told me was that I was going to win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
I had asked someone else about this, and they said the time for that has passed. And I'm wondering, am I still going to win the lottery, or is the time for that passed?
I don't think it's past, but I think your grandmother wanted you to be aware of something else, not just the lottery. I think she used the word the lottery because that would lock into your memory. It's a word that was very common in conversation when you were growing up, and you associated with abundance. Now, when she used the word the lottery, she may not have meant the Ohio lottery. She might have meant the lottery of life, that you were going to win a lottery which is abundance. When you think of a lottery, you think of an abundance of money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So try to shift it into a little bit of a different paradigm. Stop worrying about it being the Ohio lottery. Go ahead and play the lottery if you want. I don't care. But understand, she may have used that word because it was the best word she knew of to let you know you were going to be financially in abundance.
Okay, well, that hasn't happened so far.
Well, there is that opportunity. You have not had that occur yet. That's part of your growing.
Okay.
That's part of the opening up for you for opportunity. Don't limit the is. I love that thing. You never know when your abundance is. It's already around you, right here, right now. But how it's going to manifest is going to be in a way that's going to be in harmony with you as an individual. So the lottery means abundance.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call, Marie. See, that was painless.
Well, I thank you very, very, very much for this. It seems... I've read one of the Alice A. Bailey books, and that the seven rays. Apparently, I'm on the seventh ray because people who come in contact with me have a tendency to go in one direction or the other very rapidly. You know, either monetarily or spiritually.
Well, my dear, just know you're on the path. You've never been lost. You're not going to get off of it. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go.
Okay, well, I thank you very much, and God bless.
Thank you so much. You have a fabulous evening, Maria. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got a beautiful, beautiful self inside you, wherever you are, whoever you are. Just recognize that and realize that you're here for a marvelous purpose that only you are going to be able to fulfill. And you're the one that has to go through the journey to make that fabulous discovery, that gold mine within that belongs to you, because you are the custodian of the highest and the best in your life. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be talking tomorrow with Don Parks and Ancient Mystery Codes. We'll be there right here on BBS Radio, same time, same place. Tell your friends. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.